and to welcome in the new year, although we don't plan on praying for that long. Welcome if you're joining us online. We pray that God will be blessing you as you hear and join in the worship from your home. So we're going to start by singing a song which celebrates the fact that our God is in control, whatever the world looks like. So when the music starts, let's stand and sing. Pray. Oh Lord our God, we do thank you that you promised to be here with us. You say that where two or three people are gathered in your name, you're here in the midst of us. And we pray that that will be something that we know and sense. We pray that you'll keep us fixed on you in terms of our thoughts, our minds, and our concentration. We pray that you'll help us to leave everything that we walked in with. We pray that nothing will distract us as we think of the privilege we have of talking to the God who has always been there. And we haven't had to get through security. We haven't had to make some special effort. And we don't need to worry that you might not understand, because you know our names. You know each one of us. And you tell us to come as children to our Heavenly Father, who delights to give good gifts to his children. So we pray that we'll hear your voice today. We pray that our hearts will be moved. We pray that we will know the joy of being in your presence. Amen. So our theme for this evening is pausing for thought at the passing of time. And what we're going to do is we're going to be looking at Psalm 90. And the next hymn we're going to sing is based on Psalm 90. Then I'm going to read Psalm 90. And then we're going to sing another hymn, which you won't know as well, but you will know the tune really well. So that's what we're planning to do. So our next song, our next hymn is O God, Our Help in Ages Past. So when the music starts, let's stand and sing. So we're going to be reading Psalm 90. It's on page 496 in the Church Bibles. And this is a prayer of Moses, the man of God. Lord, you have been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever you had formed the earth and the world, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. You return man to dust and say, "Return, O children of man, for 1,000 years in your sight are but as yesterday when it's past, or as a watch in the night. You sweep them away as with a flood, bare like a dream, like grass that is renewed in the morning. In the morning it flourishes and is renewed. In the evening it fades and withers. For we are brought to an end by your anger. By your wrath we are dismayed. You have set our iniquities before you, our secret sins in the light of your presence. For all our days pass away under your wrath. We bring our years to an end like a sigh. The years of our life are 70, or even by reason of strength 80. Yet their span is but toil and trouble. They are soon gone and we fly away. Who considers the power of your anger and your wrath according to the fear of you? So teach us to number our days, that we may get a heart of wisdom. Return, O Lord, how long? Have pity on your servants. Satisfy us in the morning with your steadfast love, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. Make us glad for as many days as you have afflicted us, and for as many years as we have seen evil. Let your work be shown to your servants and your glorious power to their children. Let the favour of the Lord our God be upon us and establish the work of our hands upon us. Yes, establish the work of our hands. Oh, let's sing again based on this same psalm. Oh, Father, we've been singing words that we don't normally sing, thinking things we don't normally think. Oh, Lord, you know how we don't like to think of our lives passing quickly. We don't like to think of the fact that one day this will all end. And there's part of us that's right in doing that, that death was never part of the original plan. Yet we know it's coming, we know it's there, and we know that one day we will all stand before you. One day we will either be forever with the Lord, we will enjoy your presence forever, or we will face that reality of being told that we never knew you. Oh Lord, we ask that as we live every day here, you will send your Spirit into our hearts to help us to live that in the way that is best, to live that in the way that pleases you. Oh Lord, we are glad that you are a good God and that you are full of mercy. And we are so glad that you're patient with us. So we pray that you'll help John as he preaches to us from your word. We pray that the force of what you're saying to us will come into our ears, into our hearts, and into our lives. Our Father, we do thank you for all we've enjoyed this Christmas. We thank you for our families. We thank you for the opportunity to be together. And Lord, we pray now for each other. We pray for those in our families. Oh Lord, as we've met together, we've realized we're from different situations with different needs. And yet we come to the God who knows, the God who is in control, the God who is still with those who weren't able to be with us because they're too far away. Oh Lord, we pray that you'll help us to pause and to bring each other before you. Oh Lord, we beg your blessing on us, on our children, on our children's children, on our parents, on our families. And we ask that you will give us that close connection with you. So as we look forward to the new year, we will be able to be those who shine as a light for you. So Lord, we're glad we can come to you. We're glad that the price has been paid. Our sins are forgiven because of Jesus. That no one is rejected. Oh Lord, do fill our hearts with love to you, we pray. Amen. So before John comes to preach to us, we're going to sing again. And we are going to sing, O Christ the same through all our stories, praises, our loves and hopes, our failures and our fears. Eternal Lord, the King of all the ages, unchanging still amid the passing years. So when the music starts, let's stand and sing.
Well, I'm so pleased to see you all here this evening, and I shall be so pleased if this psalm proves really helpful to you that we look at on this last Sunday of this year. And as 2025 draws to a close, maybe we are thinking a little bit about time. I wonder if you're a time-conscious person. Are you a time-conscious person? Always looking at your watch. Very aware of how long things are going to take. Rarely late to anywhere. Time-conscious person. Or are you a bit oblivious? You bad at scheduling. You look at the clock and work out where you should have been 10 minutes ago. You're a time-conscious person. I want to take it a bit further. Slightly different question. Are you a passing of time-conscious person? You're a passing of time-conscious person. You're very aware that time passes, that it goes quickly, that you can't believe that you've got to finish writing or typing 25 on a lot of things. It only seems so recently that you started. That a new calendar has to go on your wall, maybe, if that's the way you work. And not just for 25 passing, but life in general just seems to be flying by. Are you a passing of time, conscious person? Well, this evening we're looking at a psalm written by a passing of time conscious person, one who lived a long time ago. In fact, I think it's the oldest of these psalms, the songs we've got in our Bible songbook. The Bible tells us who it was written by. You may have noticed it was written by Moses, the man of God. It's the only psalm accredited to him of all the 150 psalms that we have. It was written by a man well connected to God, a man of God, Moses, the man of God. And his experiences, especially of the wilderness wanderings that he went through, sort of infuse and inform the psalm. We find that as we go through it. And this man of God looks at the passing of time with God in his thoughts, because he's a man of God. And that will be a good thing for us this evening, as we think about the passing of time with God in our thoughts. I'm going to pick out the three main themes of the psalm and explore them a little bit this evening. And we start here. We start with God and time. God and time. He starts big in the psalm. He doesn't start with himself. He looks higher. He thinks about God and time as he prays or as he writes this song. And there are at least three gigantic thoughts about God at the outset of this psalm. Thinks about God transcending generations. Maybe you've been involved with mixed generations this week. Often happens like that, doesn't it? Over Christmas, perhaps you've had two, maybe three, maybe four generations together in the house at a mealtime, maybe. Precious times. But they pass. We had two missing from our sort of main family Christmas meal this year that would have been there a couple of years ago. The generations pass. We try and hold it together a bit. I don't know whether you've done this. Sometimes you start to tell older ones to write on the back of the photos they've got in their cupboard or drawer of ones that they knew a couple of generations ago, so that you've got some connection with people in the past. And you know, when you look at these old photos, who was Uncle Harry and who was Auntie Dorothy. We try and hold it together, but the generations are passing. They come and they go. But God remains constant. never aging, never declining, the ever-living God, the God of Abraham, the God of Moses, our God. Lord, verse 1, you have been our dwelling place in all generations. God transcending generations. Goes back further. Thinks about before creation. Mountains and hills are often a picture of sort of ageless stability, aren't they? You go to Snowdonia, you go to the peaks, you go to the Alps, and they've been the same, it seems, for years and for decades and for centuries and for millennia. They're just the same. They stay the same. But our psalm takes us back even before they were there. Verse 2, before the mountains were brought forth or ever you had formed the earth and the world. God not just transcends the generations, but he was there before creation. Before the sun formed its first shadow that might even form a sundial as they try and track time. God was there. He formed such things, which is why the first words of the Bible are so powerful. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And then his thoughts remain so big and vast and mind-boggling as he describes God overarching eternity. Wow, what a way to end verse 2. What do you do with the way verse 2 ends? From everlasting to everlasting, you are God. Can you go back in your minds to everlasting? Can you go forwards in your mind to everlasting? We struggle with concepts. We struggle with words. I thought of saying, can you go back to the start of everlasting? Well, can you put it like that? Can you say there's a start of everlasting? We're thinking of eternity. We're thinking of no beginning and no end. I thought of calling my point filling eternity. But can I say that? Can I talk of God filling eternity? Well, I think it's probably okay when I think of certain other parallels in the Bible. But if you're filling something, it implies it's bigger than you. And eternity isn't bigger than God. God is bigger than eternity. From everlasting, from the vanishing point that way, to the vanishing point that way. You are God. Overarching eternity, engulfing eternity, filling eternity. Striking, I find it, early in Genesis. When Abraham worshipped God, it says, Abraham called on the name of the everlasting God. And so do we. He's still the same. Is this making you feel big? Thinking of the passing of time makes us feel small. We're just a sort of a micro speck, aren't we, on the vast spectrum and continuum of time. God, over from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. It's humbling. It puts us in our place. And yet it's also comforting. It's comforting. We're told in Deuteronomy 33 and verse 27, the eternal God is your refuge, and underneath are his everlasting arms. It's humbling, but it's comforting. It's comforting in the way it's put here in the Psalms. Lord, you have been our dwelling place in all generations. Our home. our point of belonging. We're safe in you. Lord, across the generations, you have been our dwelling place. Our people at Christmas dinner changes over the years. God is the same. The venue, if you like, for Christmas dinner perhaps changes. It used to be at so-and-so's, but now they can't go, but now it's at so-and-so's and the venue. But God is our constant home venue, always there, an anchor point. It's comforting as well as awesome and worship-stirring. So he begins his psalm on the passing of time, thinking about God and time, and I hope that stirs us to worship. And as he carries on, it's thinking about us and time, more in the middle. We're sort of brought into the scene in the middle, the big middle of the song. And Moses thinks about us and time passing. But it's not just about time passing, really, but it's us passing, and us passing quickly. Have you stood on a bridge maybe after downpours and floods when the river is high and flowing well, and you've seen the debris come down, you know, the logs and the plastic bits and the bushes, quite big items sometimes. They come down, they go under your bridge, and then they go off into the distance, just carried away. They come quickly and they go quickly. It's water under the bridge is our saying, isn't it? Just comes and goes. It's passed behind us. You have dreams. Some of us have a lot of dreams. Are you a dream person? Do you know how many dreams you have? Do you remember many of your dreams? You had some this week. They're soon forgotten. If you look at what the experts say, they say that our dreams are actually very short in the night. They don't last very long, most of them. They pass. You think of flowers in the summer, in the hot weather. They come up beautiful, but soon they're gone, especially in the Middle East. The flowers come up, and within a day, many of them are finished and gone. And these pictures infiltrate this psalm, verse 5. You sweep them away as with a flood. They are like a dream, like grass that is renewed in the morning. In the morning it flourishes and is renewed. In the evening, it fades and withers. Frail as summer's flowers, we flourish. Blows the wind and it is gone. But while mortals rise and perish, God endures unchanging on. Some of us looked at Jam 4 this morning, or James 4, as we worked out it was. And in the middle of the two verses that were put up for the children's talk, there's this one which is on the same theme. Yet you do not know what tomorrow will bring. What is your life? For you are a mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes. A morning mist as quickly disappears. The shower room filled with steam after your shower because you forgot to open the window. But you come back half an hour later after the window's been open and the extractor fan's been on and it's all gone and clear, it's past. And so our lives are so temporary. It's perhaps harder to grasp this when we're younger. The days feel long, the weeks feel long, the years seem to go on ages. I remember years ago when I was at primary school, I remember working out how old I was going to be in the year 2000 when the millennium struck. And yeah, I was at primary school at Herne, it's Ashdown now, and I was just working out, I've got to be 31, oh, it seems ages away, 31 I'm going to be when the millennium changes. And now that's a full 25 years ago. And if I'm spared for another 25 years on top of that, I'll be in my 80s. Time passes quickly. had a Christmas letter from an old friend, and he said in it, "Perhaps we are even more conscious too of the brevity and frailty of life after what's happened this year." But then he carries on and he sees it in a deeper way, and this may surprise you. He talks about the passing of time, and he talks about the passing of time as under God's anger. Did you notice that when you read through or you sung? It's quite interesting, isn't it? Singing through when you don't know the words of an unusual hymn. You concentrate sometimes more than others, and perhaps as we sung it through, you thought, this is a bit heavy, this is a bit unusual. But that's the way he sees it in the psalm. God's anger is the way he views the passing of time. Verse 7, "For we are brought to an end by your anger, by your wrath we are dismayed." Verse 9, "For all our days pass away under your wrath, we bring our years to an end like a sigh." Verse 11, "Who considers the power of your anger and your wrath according to the fear of you?" It seems life struggles and, if you like, the aging process as part of what's come to humankind because of sin. Why is he viewing it like that? Why is he seeing it in that way? Well, it's partly because Moses has had 40, well, depending quite when he wrote this in his life, but he's perhaps had 40 hard years in the wilderness, wandering through sort of desert-like country with all of his contemporaries dying. And the reason that this was happening was because of their defiance of God and the fact they disobeyed his word and wouldn't trust in him. So we've seen it all around him, the passing of life. And it was very much linked with God's judgment, God's anger on them as a nation because of the way in which they'd spurned his kindness. But more than that, he sees it all in the big picture of Genesis 3, of the start of the Bible. The fall of mankind, if you like. Verse 3 said, "You return man to dust and say, return, O children of man." This is really echoing what we found out in Genesis chapter 3, where because of rebellion, humankind was told this in verse 19, "By the sweat of your face you shall eat bread till you return to the ground, for out of it you were taken, for you are dust, and to dust you shall return." Seeing all of life struggles and aging and death under the banner of the fall of humanity since the beginning. So this Wednesday I went to the acute frailty unit, it's called. I haven't been there before, the acute frailty unit. It's a subset of Ward 2 in Tunbridge Wells Hospital, which is a ward that especially deals with those with dementia. And grateful for the care provided by the staff in that unit and in that ward. But in a sense, it feels to me as if I've got Genesis 3 written all over the ward. It's the difficulty of the older years. It's decline. It's the passing of time. It's the route to returning to dust. And you and I may well end up in the acute frailty unit if it still carries on, or in Ward 2. That is the route of humanity. The years get difficult as they go on. Verse 10 says in this psalm, "The years of our life are 70, or even by reason of strength 80, yet their span is but toil and trouble. They are soon gone and we fly away." Romans 5 spells it out for us. Let me just give you verse 12. "Therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man, and death through sin, and so death spread to all men, because all sinned. Have you grasped that time is going quickly? A bit deeper than that, have you grasped that time is going quickly and things are deteriorating because of humanity's rebellion against God and being under God's wrath? Ecclesiastes sounds this note, thought-provoking book. The main line of the preacher, vanity, it's translated sometimes. I think another good word is fleeting. Fleeting, fleeting, everything is fleeting, says the preacher. It's a note of Ecclesiastes. Swift to its close ebbs out life's little day. Earth's joys grow dim, its glories pass away. Change and decay in all around I see. O thou who changest not, abide with me. So you say, this is all very morbid, isn't it? This is why Jesus is so important. We're released from this bad news by Jesus. The passing of time, in its solemnity, if you like, the passing of our lives, dealt with by the second Adam, the last Adam, it's called, the perfect human, the one who gives eternal life to those who trust in him, the one who bears the wrath of God deserved by others. I'll give you another verse from Romans 5, verse 18. And having been set free from sin, Romans 5 and verse 18. Therefore, as one trespass led to condemnation for all men, so one act of righteousness leads to justification and life for all men. Or Romans 6, for the wages of sin is death. Psalm 90 is very conscious of that. But the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. When you know Jesus as your Saviour, you can face the passing of time that we're thinking of this evening with confidence. You can carry on in the abide with me hymn and say, I fear no foe with thee at hand to bless. Ills have no weight and tears no bitterness. Where death your sting, where grave your victory, I triumph still if thou abide with me. With Jesus, you can face the passing of time. With Jesus, you can face the deterioration of life. With Jesus, you can face death itself. That's why God, in his wonderful love and grace, sent Jesus into this fallen world. Us and time. But then the final part. These grand thoughts about God and eternity, about our mortality, that they stir up, or should stir up, some prayers, some things that we really want, the things that we ask God for. And here in Psalm 90, from 12 to the end, you have a range of prayers. If you've got it open, have a look at it. Well, I'm hoping that after the last hymn, we'll sort of say this together, those who want to, as our closing prayer. And if you've got it open, you'll see that there's a number of prayers. How can we summarise? How can we pick out the main thoughts in these prayers? Well, I'll give you, cut it down just to three. When thinking about time and eternity, it turns it into this prayer. Teach us to number. He wants it for himself, but he wants it for others. It's in verse 12. Teach us in the light of all we've been thinking about. So teach us to number our days that we may get a heart of wisdom. It's as if it's so easy to forget the things he's been thinking about, that perhaps he's conscious himself that I might write this song or sing this song or go to the sermon on the 28th of December 2025 and hear it in the message and then forget about it by the time refreshments is over. So I pray instead, so teach us to number our days that our hearts may be given to wisdom. Numbering our days is not about knowing how long you'll live. You know, ping, this is the date that you're going to be spared to. It's realizing that you won't live long. Teach us to number our days. You number what's limited, don't you? When money is hard, you count every penny because you know it's precious and you need to take care of every bit of it. So it's really saying, help me to live as somebody who knows how temporary everything is. Give me an eternal perspective, Lord. Help me to use time well. Help me to know what's really worthwhile and lasting. Lord, one New Year's Eve will be my last. Help me to live realizing that. Help me to lay up a treasure in heaven, not just on earth. Can you think of somebody who didn't number his days very well? Think of Bible examples. Can you think of somebody who didn't number his days very well? I'm thinking of the rich farmer in Luke chapter 12. This is what he says after a bumper harvest. This is what he says. He says, and I will say to my soul, soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, and be merry. This is what God says of him, verse 20. But God said to him, fool, this night your soul is required of you, and the things you have prepared, whose will they be? He'd lost the plot, hadn't he? He didn't number his days. He thought he was going to live forever. So he lived for stuff and ignored God. Teach us to number our days. In about 10 days' time, I'm taking the funeral, God willing, of somebody who lived to be 101. I thought it must be the oldest person I'd taken a funeral for. I checked my records in the last couple of days, and actually I took it for somebody who was 104. A few years ago, I'd forgotten quite how old that person had become. Interesting characters, one who was in Guernsey in the war when the Nazis invaded Guernsey, one of the only parts of the UK that was affected by the invasion, and she was sort of evacuated out as a teenager, I think. And then dear Margaret Payne, she worked in Bletchley Park. Any of you into war stuff know about Bletchley Parks and codes. It's all very interesting. 101, 104, but their life is gone. So long, but it's gone. And ours will too. You pray to be conscious that days are limited, to use life well, to make sure you have eternal treasure through Christ, to have a heart of wisdom. A second line of the prayer would be this: bless us early. Bless us early. Some people think they can sort of leave off their need for God's help and influence, support, till later in life. You know, that if you're going to carry on with life as it is for many years to come and then think about being restored with God, nearer the end. Well, Moses has a very different idea, doesn't he? He knows time is whizzing by, and he wants God's blessing, and he wants it soon. He wants to sort of maximize God's mercy and blessing on his life. It's in verses 13 to 16, but let me just pick out verse 14 to pick out the thread. He prays, satisfy us in the morning with your steadfast love, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. So because time is passing so quickly, I want God's help and blessing. I want to know salvation through Jesus. I want to be living as I should do early. I want God's help early, in the morning, not last thing at night. Throughout this next year, in 2026, not waiting a decade, God have mercy on me early, bless me, be in my life now, soon. And that's a good thing for us to pray, isn't it, for this year. Oh Lord, be merciful, show me your mercy, bless me from January, don't wait till November. I want a full year of your blessing. Time goes so quickly, I need to maximize your involvement and your help in my life from an early stage. Oh Lord, I'm in my teens or I'm in my 20s. Please bless me now and for the years I've got left. Don't let me wait until I'm middle-aged or drawing my pension. Have mercy on me early. Bless us early. Second line of thought in the prayers. And then there's this last one. I called it this, make our work count. Slightly different, but helpful. One of the things about the passing of time is it can make you think, well, what's the point? Everything can feel sort of so irrelevant, so insignificant, especially the more small things in life. You think, well, what's the point in washing up? You know, what's the point in this data input that I'm doing? What's the point in revising for my geography exam? You know, just where's the significance in all this in the big picture? But you know, knowing the eternal God who is outside of time changes all that. If we are doing things that God wants, that are in line with Him, that He is blessing, then it takes on a significance. It solidifies it, solidify our work. And don't you think that's behind the last verse? Let the favour of the Lord our God be upon us and establish the work of our hands upon us. Yes, establish the work of our hands. So what would be flimsy, make it lasting, Lord, make it significant, because I'm doing it for you and you're involved, and even the menial things of my life are now worth something and significant because they're connected to an eternal being. So they suddenly matter. Make our work count. Does that make sense? Am I getting that across? This might help. I've got a little illustration here. So if you're getting a bit worn out with listening, this will bring you back. Here we go. What is this? Any ideas? You can call out if you have any clues as to what it... Sorry? Esther's bouquet. Straight to it. So it's a bouquet of flowers, and it's my wife's wedding bouquet. So that is 1992. So that is... I need to get my figures right on such things. It's about 33 years ago, is that right? Yeah, so 33 years ago, it was in here actually, and Rachel Pelling did it, I think that's right. So there we go. Oh, she didn't. Oh, okay, there we go. So, and here, what you have here is things that would in themselves be very flimsy and passing. Okay, that these flowers wouldn't have lasted beyond at the end of July 1992, they'd be gone, be recycled or whatever. But Rachel Pelling passed them on to somebody who knew how to dry them out and frame them, and it still hangs in our room. Okay, not quite in the glories of 33 years ago, but it hangs in our room, and it's lasted, and it's nice, and it means a lot to us. And isn't that like this psalm is asking at the end? And isn't that like how our efforts in life are? In and of themselves, they don't feel as though they matter. and they're gone in no time, and they're on the compost heap. But when you know the eternal God, and you love him, and you serve him, and he's helping you, and he's blessing you, it's as if it solidifies it, establish the work of our hands. Yes, establish the work of our hands. So I think that's a third line of prayer from this wonderful psalm. Maybe you can pray along those lines next year. Yes, what I do seems so small, I'll forget about it myself, and others will certainly forget about it, but Lord, you know, and it's done with your help for your glory, and so it counts. So, another year passes this week, assuming we're spared. But thinking of the time passing, being conscious of it, pausing for thought at the passing of time can make us think of God's greatness, can make us think of our frailty, and it can make us pray some rich prayers in the light of God and eternity. Well, let's sing together our song. And then after we've sung this song, which ties in quite nicely with the theme, what we're going to try and do is pray through those last six verses. So after the song, they come up. I'm sure we won't do it in unison. It'll be a little higgledy-piggledy. But hopefully we'll be able to pray along together as you know, most of us say out loud the words that are in these prayers. But first, let's sing this song. Mine are days that God has numbered.
Thank you.
So we're saying to go through as best as we can together the last six verses. They come up and we'll try and say the words, but also hopefully say it in our hearts as we do so. Let's do that. Verse 12. So teach us to number our days, that we may get a heart of wisdom. Return, O Lord, how long? Have pity on your servants. Satisfy us in the morning with your steadfast love, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. Make us glad for as many days as you have afflicted us, and for as many years as we have seen evil. Let your work be shown to your servants, and your glorious power to their children. Let the favour of the Lord our God be upon us, and establish the work of our hands upon us. Yes, establish the work of our hands. Amen.